Today's episode of The Dark Paranormal is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Companies and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations. Let's have a quick break to talk about those wonderful people at Happy Mammoth. You'll have heard me talking previously about Hormone Harmony, the supplement that helps women maintain optimal hormone levels. With over 50,000 glowing reviews from women worldwide, and 98% saying they'd recommend it to friends and family. Well, now you can take those results even further by pairing it with their prebiotic collagen protein, which helps restore gut lining integrity, promoting overall hormonal balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating or gas, reduce sugar cravings, and help you feel satisfied longer. It helps support healthy, sustainable weight management, boost energy, and help stabilize mood swings. Because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving your gut health can amplify your hormone harmony results, so you can feel like yourself again. A friend of mine was struggling with occasional digestive issues and brain fog, and since adding prebiotic collagen protein, she's noticed a real lift in her energy and overall well-being. Happy Mammoth is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. And right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and Hormone Harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire first order with code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 22. Hello everyone, and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 22, Episode 2. And thank you for all of the feedback for our first episode. Hopefully this will be our best season yet. We've received some lovely editorials in both Spotify from the US, the UK, and also Oscuridad Paranormal, Anna's franchise version of The Dark Paranormal, received a review for Spotify in Mexico. So all in all, a great start to the new season, and please forgive my voice, I'm getting over or through a form of cold or flu, I'm not sure which. Either way, as you guys know, from season 22 onwards, we are trying to get to the heart of the matter quicker, i.e. the person's experience. So, although we're thankful for every Patreon who joins, we no longer read names. But I will still inform you of what you will get if you join our Patreon, which is, of course, signing up to our wonderful community. But it would be remiss of me to not remind you of what you gain by joining our wonderful community at Patreon. Patreon is vital to the show's success. It keeps us going. If you join at the lowest tier from December, you will gain access to ad-free episodes. And believe me, with Christmas coming up and the January sales, every podcaster everywhere is going to have what they call a fill rate full, meaning adverts are going to be coming thick and fast. Joining at that level means you still get your show on the same day, but ad-free. The other options are to have early ad-free releases, or of course join our highest tier, where you get access to not only everything ad-free and early, but to our Dark Bites back catalogue of over 155 hours of Patreon-only shows, a new show of Dark Bites every week, and also, from December onwards, a brand new show Well, I take a more informal approach in terms of discussing some of the topics that we've covered. On top of that, we will be introducing our own community forum for what I believe is the best community to do with the paranormal online anywhere. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, it's time to lower those lights, make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door. As we hear all about one of our listeners being marked by the Miller. I was recently turned on to your show via a friend after telling them this story, the one I'm about to tell you. I've spent the last few weeks typing this up, adding bits as I remember them, trying to get it all down in a chronological order. I've reread before sending for a sense check. So hopefully this all makes sense, although it's weird seeing it all written down like this. It makes me feel like I'm watching someone else's story, if that makes sense. This happened about 2 years ago, and I'll be changing my name, other names, and some of the places. But everything else is exactly as it happened. At the time, I was coming out of what I can only describe as a complete implosion of my life. I'd been in a PR business partnership in Newcastle. It was with my closest friend since childhood. I won't go into all the details, but she wanted to grab cash in place of our original values on this major deal. I trusted her with the majority of the legal side of things, as that was much more her field. But when I found out what was happening, I realized I didn't have a legal say in what took place, and the deal went ahead. So, I went ahead and left the partnership and left Newcastle. I had some money from cashing out my half of the business, and I wanted to start completely fresh, somewhere where no one knew me. Well, I found a property listing for a converted mill, in what I'll call Northumberland. Though that's not exactly accurate. It was part of a small gated development, 4 individual dwellings on 1 plot. There was a large farmhouse, a converted barn, a small converted stable, and the mill itself. The mill was the biggest apart from the farmhouse, 3 stories and all the character you'd expect. The photos looked perfect. I arranged a viewing and drove up on a Saturday morning. The couple selling the mill met me there, both in their early 40s, all smiles and very helpful. They walked me through the whole place, pointing out the quirks with the heating, showing me where they'd updated things. They were moving for work, it appeared. They didn't mention anything unusual, not one thing. I found that strange later, but at the time I thought I was just lucky. The other residents on the plot seemed nice enough, and when I met them during the viewing, they were fine. The farmhouse was occupied by 2 doctors, Andy and Nikki, and they were very welcoming. In fact, they were the impromptu welcoming committee. They came over and introduced themselves, offered help if I needed anything, etc. The converted barn housed a retired man whose name I never really remember. The converted stables had an elderly woman, Agnes, who Andy and Nikki said was very lovely, very cheery, but kept herself mostly to herself, although she would wave at you if you saw her and she saw you. All in all, I was exceptionally happy with the place, so I put an offer in that week. And it was accepted, and as a cash buyer, I was in the place only 6 weeks later. Moving day was fine. I'd hired a small van. I didn't have that much furniture. Andy and Nikki came over to help me carry boxes, and Nikki made tea whilst Andy helped me figure out which room would work best for my office. They stayed about an hour chatting about the area. From my second visit, the mill was much bigger than I remembered. The main room on the ground floor had massive windows. The bedroom on the second floor seemed much larger. The original beams across the ceiling, etc. The third floor made for a perfect office. I spent the first few days unpacking, getting used to the place, the sounds from the central heating system, the boiler clicking when it fired up, which floorboards creaked, etc. Normal old building things. I threw a very small moving-in party the following weekend. A woman named Sarah that I'd befriended from our old post office came with her husband. Andy and Nikki brought wine and flowers, and some of my old best friends arrived, and we had a jolly good time. I did put invitations through Agnes's door and the barn man's door, though neither came. The morning after, the barn man gave me a stern, withering look as I smiled at him as we both got in our cars. We hadn't even been that loud, and the party was done by 11:30. But as I drove away, I did think, well, he's only known me for just less than 2 weeks, and if his first impression is every other week I hold a party, he won't be too impressed. So I let his not-very-fur snarl at me go. The first week and a half after that was quiet. I set up properly, I got back into freelance work. Small contracts, nothing major yet. The routine helped, though. Waking up, coffee, work, going for a walk, more work. It felt like I'd definitely made the right decision. I'd see Agnes a few times in passing, and she would wave from her garden. The barn man I thankfully barely saw at all. It was maybe the week after that when I first heard the sound. I was working late, maybe 11 at night, and the house was silent except for my keyboard. And then I heard it. A low creaking sound, rhythmic, like wood moving against wood. It lasted maybe a few seconds and then stopped. I figured it was the building settling. Although, 2 nights later, the same sound, louder. Then more frequently, always at night. I started to feel uneasy, but I couldn't place why. It didn't feel threatening, just persistent. About 3 weeks after that, I came downstairs and my kitchen table had moved. Not much. Maybe 0.5 meter from the wall I'd placed it against. I stood there, staring, trying to remember if I'd moved it the night before. I couldn't remember, but I'd been very tired. Maybe I had. Maybe I was trying to reach for something. I don't know. That night, the tapping started. Cozy on the couch, watching TV, and like little taps, like fingernails on wood, coming from the hallway. I went to check. This time the taps came from the kitchen, so I go to the kitchen and I'm met with silence. I wait there for a while and eventually go back to curl up on the couch. An hour later, this time on the living room ceiling, I stared at that spot. I should point out, at this point, no part of me thought of anything paranormal or supernatural, or was even scared. I was staring, expecting to see the white ceiling start to darken in that spot due to a leaking pipe or such. So I began keeping track, writing down where I would hear them and when. But there was no obvious pattern. One afternoon, I was making tea when I heard something metallic hit the floor. I turned around but couldn't see anything. I looked under the table, behind the bin, nothing. Then as I turned back, I saw it. A tablespoon, standing perfectly upright on its oval end, spinning slowly, just spinning, balanced in a way that shouldn't be possible. I ran to get my phone so I could film it. I was gone maybe 10 seconds, and when I came back, the spoon was laying flat on the floor. I picked it up and I put it back in the sink, but my hands were shaking. The tapping then got louder. It was waking me up at night. 3 sharp raps, always sets of 3. Sometimes the bedroom door frame, sometimes the floor near the bed. I turned the light on, it would stop. One night I woke to tapping around 2 a.m. in the morning. It came from the corner near the wardrobe. I turned on my lamp, and again it stopped. I turned it off and lay back down, and the tapping started again immediately, the same corner. The light back on, and nothing. This went on for maybe 20 minutes, and I decided I would leave the light on, just to get some sleep. Around this time, things started going missing. A pen from my desk, a mug I'd been using, which would then be found in odd places, the pen in the bathroom cabinet, the mug on the bedroom windowsill. I told myself I was just being forgetful, stressed, and I undeniably was, as work was proving hard to come by. Then a book I'd been reading disappeared from my bedside table. Now I searched the entire house, and 3 days later, it was back, exactly where I'd left it on my bedside table. A few days later, the kitchen table moved again, and this time I know I didn't move it. I'd gone upstairs to get something, maybe 2 minutes away. When I came back, the table was pushed against the wall. Now I'd recently moved it to the centre of the kitchen. I stood in the doorway, staring. And then I pushed it back. Man, that thing was heavy. I couldn't have moved that without noticing. That same evening, Nikki came over with some wine. I think she could tell that something was off. We sat and we talked, and eventually I told her about the sounds, the furniture, the spoon. I expected her to laugh at me. She didn't. Instead, she went quiet, and then said she wasn't surprised. She said she'd always found the mill unsettling. She spoke as if we were being listened to. She mentioned that she used to hear the previous owners argue until the early hours of the morning, sometimes after the sun had rose, but an hour later they'd both be on their front step in their jogging gear, smiling at each other and off for their morning run. And she said this happened several times a week. She said the juxtaposition of being able to hear them say such abhorrent things to each other and then watch them smile as if nothing had happened minutes later really unsettled her. It was almost as if they were not aware they were just arguing. For some reason, not the sounds in my house, not the things I'd heard or witnessed, that sentence put something cold in me. Nikki asked if I wanted to see something. She went back to her house and returned with a DVD. It was a DVD Andy had made before they'd moved in, to kind of get them both in the mood for the move. He'd found old footage from libraries and wherever else and put together this DVD about the land, its history, and compiled it all onto this DVD. So we put it on. It began with old film footage, very, very grainy. It was the mill when it was still operational. I could see the big wooden wheel turning, the mechanisms moving. And that's when I realised. The sound I was hearing was that exact sound of the mill, the rhythmic wooden creaking. The footage then cut to a tile card about the history of the place. Then a voice, crackled with age, started narrating. The mill was a pride of the village. Of course, until the... And the audio cut out. The next section was silent footage of the exterior, and the remainder of the DVD was all about the house they eventually moved into. When it ended, Nikki and I just looked at each other. Neither of us said anything until I said... Until the what? Nikki shrugged, as if in reaction to us watching this very DVD, the incidents escalated following that night.
The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful, with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. We've all scoured the web for last-minute passable gifts, but you rarely find something unique. Gifts worth a thought is as appreciated as the gift. But you will at uncommongoods.com. Often handmade or made in the US, many crafted by independent artists or small businesses. Made in small batches or very rare one-offs that don't break the bank. though the best finds can sell out fast. It's our second year working with Uncommon Goods, and last year I bought a delicate blown glass sphere in an almost spectral green, and since then it's become a legit conversation piece for anyone coming into my home. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. Mums, dads, kids, book lovers, football fans, gardeners, you name it, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas you won't find anywhere else. The phrase, the gift that keeps on giving, is rarely true, but with Uncommon Goods, every purchase you make, they give $1 to a non-profit partner of your choice, donating more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off that list. To get your 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/darkparanormal. That's uncommongoods.com/darkparanormal for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Personally, I can find it really hard to focus, and as a non-drinker, I can also find it tricky to try and wind down. And how you go about finding your personal vibe is your individual choice. Do you know there's a 100% American farm-grown online cannabis company that ship federally legal THC direct to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients so they can target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And our listeners get 20% off their first order at Mood.com with the promo code DARKPARANORMAL. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that just get you high. Mood gummies are optimized so it can take as little as 15 minutes to take you to the mood you desire. Like the Mind Magic gummies for creativity and focus. Or PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings. And there's a plethora of other gummies for you to find your perfect mood. These days we all know gummies just to get high can be bought from just about anywhere. But Mood have changed the game by combining premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get in the perfect mood in as little as 15 minutes with no dispensary lines or no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered discreetly to your door. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, as mentioned, our listeners can get 20% off their first order by entering the promo code DARKPARANORMAL. So go to Mood.com and find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood find your perfect mood. And don't forget to enter the promo code DARKPARANORMAL for 20% off.
You know, this holiday season, comfort isn't about finding more hustle, it's about slowing down, finding calm amidst the chaos, and creating a home that truly restores you. And that's where Avocado Green Mattress comes in, because you can create your own natural holiday oasis, because Avocado transforms your home into a peaceful grounding retreat, with their products made with certified organic and sustainably sourced materials. From breathable bedding to handcrafted mattresses, Avocado is all about true comfort, so you can rest, recharge, and wake up refreshed all season long. Every Avocado product is thoughtfully made with the planet and you in mind, and you can feel good about the comfort and quality that you're bringing into your home. And there are easy financing options with Affirm to make your purchase more accessible. Prioritize rest and recharge with Avocado's organic comfort. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis and save big during their holiday sale. Avocado, dream of better. That creaking became unbearable. It would start around 10 at night and continue until dawn. That rhythm, like the mill was still working. I tried earplugs, but I'd still hear it. I'd feel it vibrating through the building and my body. I'd go outside and hear nothing. Then a new enigma, cold spots. The landing at the top of my stairs, normally always fine, was now always freezing, even when the heating was on full. I'd stand there and my breath would mist. I checked for drafts, checked the window seals, but nothing helped. Next, one evening, I'm working in my top floor office and I hear footsteps on the stairs. Deliberate steps, clearly someone there. I live alone. I call out, no answer. The footsteps reach the landing and stop. I stop. I decide eventually to head to the door and flung it open to find no one there. This happened three more times over the next 3 days. I started having trouble sleeping. I'd be awake listening to the creaking, the tapping, the footsteps, and when I did sleep, I'd always wake up at 2 in the morning, always 2 a.m., and I'd find I was freezing cold despite being under the duvet and the heating being on full, yet I'd be shivering.
Then one morning, I come downstairs and every single upper cupboard door in that kitchen was open. All of them. I locked that back kitchen door every night before bed, and I knew when I'd went to bed around midnight the night before, they'd all been closed. I stood there for maybe 5 minutes. And then I snapped myself to, and I walked around closing each one. The next morning, it happened again, every cupboard, and this time every drawer all open. I started closing them, and I was halfway through when I hear a door open behind me. I turn around. One of the cupboards I'd just closed was now open again. I stare at it. I don't move. I walk backwards, focused on that cupboard, closing everything else by touch alone. I kept my eyes on it the whole time. It stayed open. When I was sure everything else was closed, still zoned in on this cupboard, I slowly walked over and closed it. I reopened it a few times to see if there was a spring mechanism, basically anything rational. Once that part of my brain was satisfied, I headed back upstairs. The following morning, they were all closed as usual. And it was around this point he made an appearance. And I say he because although this was a domineering and threatening and intimidating presence, its masculine energy was like something I'd never experienced. His appearances began in my peripheral vision, always in doorways, a dark shape, person-sized, just standing there. I'd glance for a full-on view, and they'd disappear. A kitchen doorway, a bedroom doorway, the top of the stairs, always watching. One afternoon, I was at my desk in the office, and I felt someone stood behind me. That physical sensation of another person blocking out the entire atmosphere behind you. I spun around, nothing. But that feeling didn't go away. It was as if I was facing a wall of invisible energy. I grabbed my laptop and ran downstairs. I could feel the feeling following me. Even when I settled at the kitchen table, I could still feel someone behind me whilst I worked. I kept turning around, never seeing a soul. Eventually, I sent my final email and quickly stood from the table trying to surprise it, I guess. And I walked up the back way for a walk outside. When I got back, my laptop was gone from the kitchen table. After scouring the house, it was laying on my bed, still open at the page I'd left it. I was walking across the landing a few days later, and my right foot was suddenly swept up and backwards. I fell hard, hit my shoulder against the wall. For a few seconds, I thought I'd tripped on a wire or something, and then I looked back, and of course, there's nothing there. The floor is clear. And that's when the fear 100% had me. A few days later, on that same landing, I'm walking across and I collide with something. Something. Shoulder first. A solid impact that hurt. I stumbled sideways. I reached out to steady myself. But my hands touched air. I believed, as I was looking at my phone, I'd walked into the side of a doorway, for example. But there was nothing there when I reached out. It took a good few minutes before I realized I'd walked in to nothing. I started leaving lights on all the time, every room, all night. It didn't help. The thing still happened. If anything, being able to see clearly apparently made it worse. Then one morning, I went out to my car to get some shopping and saw Agnes in her garden. I waved. She didn't wave back. She just stood there staring at the mill. I walked over, smile on my face, and staying outside of her garden, I said, "Hello." Then she turned and looked at me properly. Her face wasn't the jolly, happy-go-lucky Agnes I'd been so well informed about. We made small talk, and then she slipped in, "Are you living there alone?" "Yes," I say. Agnes made the sign of the cross, literally crossed herself right there in front of me.
I laughed nervously and asked what that was about. She looked me straight in the eye and said, "The sign of the cross. If you don't know, then God help you." Of course I knew, I just didn't know why she'd done it. She turned and walked back into her home. I stood there at that fence for a long time after she'd gone. That conversation changed something. Up until then, part of me had still been in denial, although completely engrossed in fear. I was still telling myself this could be stress, the building, my imagination. But Agnes knew. She'd known the moment I told her I was living alone. So, sod this, I knocked. She didn't answer. I knocked louder. I could see her pottering in the living room, so I knocked on the glass. I watched her pause, and then she carried on as before, like I did not exist. And it was a feeling I was genuinely starting to feel. I was becoming frayed at the edges. And then, one morning, about 7 a.m, there was a knock at my door. I answer it to find the woman who'd sold me the house, the wife. She was alone. She asked if I'd come for a coffee with her. I invited her in. She refused. She even took a step back from the door. She said she'd rather go somewhere, and I quote, neutral. I grabbed my jacket and we got in her car. She drove us to a Starbucks in a lay-by about 15 minutes away. As we sat in the car park, she looked like she hadn't slept. I asked what she wanted, and she told me there was something bad in the mill. I asked her to go on, but she stayed silent for about maybe 2 or 3 minutes, which I know isn't long, but when you're basically with a stranger in their car, 2 or 3 minutes is like half an hour. Eventually she says, "An evil man." She says he started appearing to her about 4 months after they moved in. He'd stand in doorways. He ended up appearing at the end of their bed. He would follow her from room to room. Her husband, on the other hand, thought she was losing her mind because he never experienced a thing. It was her belief he only targeted women. She'd begged her husband to move, and he'd finally agreed, though he thought she was being irrational. They'd never told anyone because they wanted to sell the place ASAP, but she'd felt guilty ever since knowing it was going to a single woman. She drove me back in total silence. Before I got out the car, she said, "I'm sorry." She drove off and I stood in the driveway, staring at the mill. I then muttered under my breath, "I've just been told about you. Do you want me gone?" There was a bang from inside, my bedroom, loud, definite. I opened the front door and I ran up to my bedroom. My king-sized bed, the one I just stepped out of to get hastily changed to join this stranger for coffee, had been turned around. It was no longer facing the window, but facing the opposite wall, meaning it had been lifted, rotated 180 degrees, and dropped. Not a crease of the bedding out of place. I stood in that doorway and experienced something I've not experienced prior or since. A feeling of utter terror and fear, morphing into genuine rage and anger. Or what I believed was genuine. At the top of my lungs, I shouted, "Well, I'm not going anywhere!" Nothing happened. Complete silence. My genuine rage, of course, was a lie. It turns out it was pure ego and fear mixed together. And in fact, it collapsed very quickly back to fear. In fact, I contacted an estate agent that same afternoon. But here's the strangest part, although it may not seem it from everything that took place, but from the moment I made that decision to leave, nothing else happened. Not one thing. No movement, no figures. It was like I was living in my ideal home. The silence was almost worse than the activity. I kept waiting for something to happen, lying awake, listening for the creaking, the footsteps, the tapping. But nothing. The house was completely quiet. The cold spot disappeared. Rooms felt normal temperature. I could walk through without feeling watched. It was just a building again. I started testing it. I'd leave cupboard doors open and come down in the morning to see if they'd close. But they'd still be open. I'd put objects in weird places and I'd check on them. They'd never move. It was surreal. After months of constant activity, the sudden nothing felt wrong. Like the calm before a storm that never came. I just couldn't relax into it. It even got me wondering if I'd imagined all of it, as if I'd had some kind of breakdown. But I knew that wasn't true. Too much had happened. And then there was the previous owner's wife, her story matching mine. That hadn't been in my head. The estate agent was optimistic, the property market was good, the mill was charming. He said we would get interest quickly, and he was right. Within 3 weeks we had an offer, a young couple. They loved it. And although part of me felt very guilty for not mentioning anything, which I did think, well, at least there's two of them. Their purchase took 4 months. Surveys, mortgage arrangements, solicitors, all the usual delays. And in all that time, the mill stayed silent. Unnervingly silent. I don't know why I'm sharing this with you now. I suppose I just want to put it somewhere. Have a documented record of it. But believe me, it happened. And it happened exactly as I've wrote it here. I don't expect everyone to believe me. I'm truly not bothered if they do or don't. I'm not sure I'd have believed me if I'd have heard this story over 2 years ago. And as for advice, I only have one bit. If you ever find yourself in a situation like mine, make a decision about your next step before it's made for you. Don't wait to see how bad it gets. This is not make-believe. It's real. I didn't want to admit it until I had no choice. And believe me, it will not stop until you make a decision, or it decides for you. After rereading this email several times over, I believe this is everything I wanted to say. Thank you, Kevin, for giving me a place to submit my entire experience. Best wishes, Anonymous. Well, Anonymous, thank you so much for this submission. As I mentioned last week, we are being very selective about what we want on the show. Last week we included a point of view that we haven't had before, and this week your experience ends in a way that is exceptionally rare when it comes to a haunted place. And that is, normally people leave. Normally people stay at a friend's house. I believe this may be the only one, if not one of very few, where you chose to stay because the activity stopped after your decision to leave was made. That's an exceptionally rare set of circumstances. And if anything, it gives more credence to a sentience living with you in that mill. Your experience is also rare in that way we have an entire story, if you will, but we have a multi-layer sitting behind it that will never be answered. That is so much deeper than the story, that is, in fact, the seeds out of which your experience grew. And that for me is absolutely fascinating, how your experience alone is absolutely terrifying, yet we all know by listening to it, there is a possible world of terror we can't imagine that sits behind it, that the chances are we will never, ever know. So, Anonymous Submitter, thank you so much for such an interesting email. Now, there will be people out there who will be judging you based on not telling the new tenants what you've experienced. I personally don't have a solid opinion on that, as I did not experience what you did. I can't be in your mind to say whether that was a right or wrong choice. What I will say is I think this is one of the most interesting tales we've covered in a long time, so thank you. And before we say farewell and look forward to episode 3, a big thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the show. And if you haven't already, please hit subscribe wherever you listen. It does help us in those rankings, etc. And also, if you do want to take a peek at maybe becoming one of our community members at Patreon, you can get a free week's trial at the highest tier in the show notes. And believe me, I mean it when I say, becoming a Patreon isn't just making you a fan of the show. It makes you almost a shareholder. You have an input. You have a say. So with all the gift-buying periods coming up, why not treat yourself to something you enjoy? And be somewhere you can have your say on how that thing you love forms and goes into the future. But until next time, stay safe and remember, if you're discussing the paranormal, always leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.